Jay Craze versus Crisis, right, Fez?
Yeah, probably some people missed it. We had 300 people in the Rumble, though. Shout out to everybody that went to the Rumble.
Definitely shout out to everybody that was in the Rumble.
Yeah, that was lit.
This guy's hey, bet.
Just let you niggas know, nigga. We
I think 250 a piece. Okay. What's the agreement? $250
yeah,
a piece.
Rumble's already past 1,000 too.
Jay Craze put up half.
All right, now we got it. Now we got the
Crisis put up half. At the end of this thing,
now we about to see. Now we really about
these guys didn't want to come up off the money. Nobody wanted to decide, you know. So check out the battle. See what it sound like.
He made him go first.
And also, yo, Yo-Yo's nasty with these graphics, yo. A lot of niggas were complaining about the serpent. I did not choose that, yo. It is clean though. It's clean though.
This is a replay. Viral money. Shout out to Backstory Battle League.
Pedal to the metal, my foot, it won't stop. Faith in God, ain't worried about no op. Own the roadblocks. Devil playing games, get hooked like roadblocks. Fear no man, I fear the most high. No lie, got my hard times. Yahoo shy, my spirit is on fire. Praise no snake, I praise the most high. No matter what you say, my bet is on y'all. When the body connects, we strong like Voltron. Every piece must confess, repent, and show life. Truth.
I gotta say this, I was thinking this as he was rapping. Don't his cadence sound like girls that used to jump rope? I don't know where y'all from, but
is this double dutch shit?
Damn. Yeah, man, challenge, 1, 2.
Mary, Mac.
Nursery rhyme, bro.
Nah, yo.
Hey, Samson, I peep that too, Samson.
Crisis got to stop using God's name in vain, yo.
Yeah, like, yo, y'all swaying the crowd,
though. They wilding.
But, no, yeah.
Nigga, we was going to be able to hear the verse straight through, dang.
Not going to say that, go ahead.
In the heart of those Moses with a stick like it's the Passover. Break bread with the fam like Passover. Satan tempts man again and Passover. Wise man with the baby, the gift is that cold. Time for the show, let's get to that notion. Yahoo Shah, the Lord is my only heart focus. My way have been open since the pretense is Passover. Jay Craze the God, you believe in Allah?
Oh, man.
I'm gonna give you life. When Farrakhan saw the body, he yelling out, Jesus Christ. Well, water doesn't quench the lips with eternal life. In a sense, search scripts and fear the wrath of God. The rock they refuse, floodgates heaping wide. Free the wave. No stupid nigga, go free your mind. Jay got a couple loose screws. So Jay, I'm about to place the... I tell him to breathe slower. Cease motion or this sheep gonna pass over. Like Miss Bennett with the judge, I'll access Mr. Deeds closer. It's money in the pocket. Block my shot, Kobe. The assist go to when the cease growing. Wave motion. Eat iffy like Frank Ocean. Wrap a stick with a rag. I brand craze with cars like Air Jordan. Air chosen.
Fire.
I'll get to the shareholder. Bear notice, Jay Book is past due. When I put the his account, I found out that now the money the lien holder. Since Jay Craze a demon, I'll give him an extra clip. Crap with the pole, this bitch is devilish. Metal stick, when it's shot in bed, his head'll twist. Think Ezel again. Hey, Smoke Day! I'm Marilyn. The metal in, Jay not making a cut. I'm editing and bedded in. I'm about my dough, let's bet it then. Got me courting an appeal, this deal will settle it. Watch the coming soon to a theater near you. The Exorcist. Nah, wait, y'all have judged? The Exorcist. I'm wigging for the money and JK, I hear bunny. This appointment booked a lot. Craze wash and lay subtle. Click the whole post, technician, the hot cover. My Remy knocked the top off a craze. I'm Geechee with the clips. Bitch, I show frontals. Like, crazy, you should try to rap like me. Pussy, I don't want to. Trust funds you, and I want you to keep growing.
He's silly as shit.
Who knows this leak coder? Since Jay wanna be viral, Blue Game, my Air Jordan. Air Jordan, allocate to the shareholder. Bear notice, Jay Book is past due. When I put the switch on his account, I found out that now the money the lien holder. And yeah, I said it again because nigga didn't get it. Fuck.
Okay, I don't know what that means. I thought that's what I was hearing, right? Explain that, because me and Tree Money was lost.
I thought that's what I was hearing. I'm like, ain't he repeating a line?
What?
I thought the computer.
You a lien holder, nigga.
That's good.
No, he repeated the same bars?
Yeah, so I hold the cup of lien or something for Jay Craze?
Yo.
Maybe he said something about Jordan.
He's saying that you own the crib or some shit.
He's saying you Scottie Pippen.
Yo,
when Jordan like collapsed after the flu game,
what in the world?
Oh, okay, that's clever.
Lien holder,
okay, I don't know if that's what he's saying, but
that'll be fine. That's what he was saying. I bet he come up here, but he come up here and lie and say that's what he meant as he was saying it. Anyway, let's get into it.
Since niggas like Pokemon Flip, let's do a new scoop. They crazed to be a master, but he is a fruit loop. Who knew? But 50 catching monsters could open a new route. Found a body in the cave, Jay unlocking a new tooth. Cause the mix on this Glock a clone, Jay caught a Mewtwo. If I break down the plastic and recycle, then it's new to you. If so, meaning if I build up the shot,
Mark, well, he done dropped the ball like twice already in the verse.
Hello, Jay. We viewing you. Chat, think Farrah. It's a clue for you. Welcome, Jay. Get comfortable. It's time for your funeral. Truly, you knew the casket a sure stop. Mama Jay, shout out my baby a sure shot. Chop a measure as a Zion Craze taking couture shots. The craze about the lamb, but I'm peeping the floor plot. I got the schematics for the murder. So when you hear the click, Jay taking his Vogue shot.
What the fuck? Couture shots. This Vogue shot.
It sounds better.
What are you talking about? Couture shots.
This is my first time really getting to watch it. So.
It sounds better, man. But the thing is, I don't know why he keeps going in this flow pocket, bro.
Right.
He definitely don't need that. Like,
I feel like he getting certain pockets that's where it be high,
and then he be on some other stuff.
And then he got these lines where he don't rhyme the words,
and I'm like, it's too many of them.
And I don't think he's attacking Jay Craze like that.
I think he's just saying a bunch of shit that sound cool.
See, I was going to wait, but exactly
my right. point, man.
Yeah,
not
man.
Direct enough.
Yeah. All right, we're going, because Price's round is long as shit, respectfully. It's 9 minutes long.
Damn.
That nigga told y'all he wrote a 9 minute round for me, though.
He wrote a 10 minute round.
The fuck?
Life in the lamb, I tell it like Paul said. For the wages of sin is death, the price is. Yeah.
So they skipped forward. They said he had a 9 minute verse, Crisis did. All right, this is Jay Craze coming up.
I ain't got nobody, man. Listen, this is my first time in battle rap. I guess I gotta make an impression. Pay attention to what I'm saying. It's me teaching you a lesson. Shout out the Moolah B. That nigga know what I be repping. Everybody outside until the stepper get to stepping. A Crisis. You battle Caesar. I was hardly impressed. Nigga, you ain't ducking smoke or you sparring with the best. I'm really from North Philly. Can't speak about the rest. When I hear the term crisis, it's leading to your death. I don't play with the internet. This shit'll get dark. You ever run out on a nigga, leave him stiff in the park? Spin the block on your op so that blinking can spark? This National Geographic, you in the face with a shark.
See, I ain't trying to catch a body, but these voices in my head, I'm trying to spare this nigga life, but they really want him dead. I could catch him by myself and put the metal to his head, or run down on his team creating a crisis, what I did. Listen, I don't take you as a threat. I'm just punching around. I would have took you more serious if you wasn't a clown. You chose the name Crisis. See how crazy that sound? Well, since we on Crisis, you in the face of one now. You made a Harry Potter song. That shit wasn't even clever. You said Chambers of Secrets. Well, I got one even better. Remember that professor, the one that used to stutter? Well, he tried to be a sorcerer, but the stone showed it was better. You were more like a mud blood, steady in the crab, but this shit went through my blood. That's why I'm giving you half. You said God got you here. You in the face with a demon. You throw around a lot of words. But what is the meaning? You got built up with your punches. Throw angles with you scheming. This 1968, another nigga died from dreaming. But y'all ain't get the message. Coretta had a king then. You should have mind your business. See what happens when you lean in? I have an ability to solve problems with making decisions. I evolve in life forms with creating a vision. You lack the understanding. Our relating is different. I just broke down intelligence. This shit is basic division. You set yourself up. Why you let these niggas gas you? This is my first time in battle rap, and I'm already past you. I wasn't going to do this, but nigga, I need a bag too. They told me I had a body. I read the contract, and it had you. But rest in peace to the Mamba. Kobe, you a legend. 81 against the Raptors. Mike James, almost 27. I know y'all like, what's the point? I'm going to get to it in a second. This is a virtual battle league. Just know I'm the secret weapon. Remember, God got you here for a funeral. That's a legend. But you lay into harm's way, so your death was already destined. How dare you disrespect the GOAT making jokes about his death? Since you talked about a chopper, I'm going to spray from that left. A 50 mag drum with 31 to your chest. So when you talk to the Mamba, tell him my 81 put you to rest. But I get it. You a rapper, I'm spreading the word. But mixing guns with the scripture is a little absurd. If you really study scripture, pay attention to the third. Don't take the Lord's name in vain with weapons being referred. But now I understand. I want y'all to listen to this shit. This nigga pick and choose from the Bible just to make it sound sick. Thou should not kill. That was commandment number 6. But you sending people to God. This nigga's a hypocrite. Pontius Pilate in his prime, you led him to be crucifixed. But you a disciple chasing fame, rapping some of the truest shit. You rapping some of the truest shit. You feel what I'm saying?
Bro, and this is when they put out too. I just quit, bro. It was no more to be done.
To the word for some change, you chose the script. You feel what I'm saying? Time, bro.
I ain't want to do it no more.
I praise. it's slightly controversial.
It's a clean way. If you did choke, that's a clean way to choke, yo. Pause.
Just but I said Mula beat it. But listen.
But what I'm saying though, it does, you did it to the point where you could say that. You know what I mean? Like, nah, I just stopped, nigga. I was already done.
No, really. I sent the nigga the clip of me looking at my girl and said, babe, I'm done. I don't want to do it no more. I'm done.
Yeah, but you got to understand, right? The people can't see that.
No. I understand that. Like, they ain't going to be able to see it that way. So, like I said, I respect everybody's opinion on that, bro. But literally, like, on everything, bro, like, I couldn't do it no more, bro. Because it's like, I just couldn't do it no more, bro. I ain't even got no explanation, no excuses, y'all. If y'all feel like I let y'all down, I apologize.
Okay. I'm gonna pause it. Oh man. All right. Okay. 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 All right. So, there's some things. All right. Now, like we said, no one took home the money. Okay. Both parties took their money and walked back to their corners. And people were saying Craze won. Some people were saying Crisis won. Now, after listening to it again and considering some things, I have another opinion formed. All right. that I think many will agree with as well. All right, I feel like Crazy's verse was a lot more direct. Okay, it was a lot more direct, a lot more easy to follow and to comprehend, for that matter. If there were any jabs taken or thrown, if there were any punches thrown, they were all clear punches. We you know, we got all the lines, all the attempts at punch lines were made. You know what I'm saying? We got them all. Now, Crisis verse, I have to agree. Some people were saying that they felt like his was more creative. I do feel that Crisis made more of an attempt to be creative and entertaining with his performance and what he wrote. All right? That there was a greater attempt to be entertaining. I also feel that Crisis, and I said this before, and some folks in the video, this playback, said it as well, that Crisis seems to just, in some cases, throw some stuff together because he feels that it sounds hot. You know? And I can see that being the case. Then he made the interesting choice of repeating a portion of his verse, which I think is cool. I think it's cool when there's repetition artistically. This repetition I didn't understand, and it threw me off. I thought I was hearing something broken. I thought something was skipping or something like that. But no, I didn't get the repeating it. All right, so. And also, there's this. The length of the verses. They're saying that Crisis verse was 9 minutes in total. Like he had a 9 minute verse. And J. Crazy's verse wasn't 9 minutes. Okay. So to make the decision that a less than 3 minute verse or whatever was hotter than a 9 minute verse, well, that's a tough call to make, right? Your verse that's less than 9 minutes has to really outdo that 9 minutes, because the effort going into 9 minutes is something that has to be considered and factored in, I would argue. Unless the 9 minutes was garbage. Like, the 9 minutes would have to be absolutely garbage. And if you feel like from a little bit of Crisis verse, he had 4 or 5 lines, I would think that he had a few more within 9 minutes. So now, J. Craze has a tough battle to fight, because he says, okay, well, this guy done spit 9 minutes worth of verse. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to drop my 1 minute and a half, my 2 minutes. Yeah, that has to be a really stellar 2 minutes. That is a lot of effort. That is a lot of preparation. That is a lot of demonstration there. Okay. So if you said to yourself, yo, I wrote a 15-minute verse, a 9-minute verse, or whatever, and then somebody that I battled wrote a verse that was 2 minutes or a minute and a half, and you say, yo, my 10 minutes lost to their 1 minute, my 10 minutes lost to their 2 minutes, I would have an issue with that as well. Now, do I think that Crisis 9 minutes or his verse was more impactful than J. Crazy verse? Huh? All right. I don't know. And let's talk about the stumble. So Craze ran fluently and consistently until he got to the part where he says, you know, you feel me? You know, you feel me? He starts to repeat that. Oh, do you feel me? It's not enough. You feel me? You know. And then he says, time. So folks are saying he fumbled, that he ran out of material, that he choked, that he forgot his lines, whatever. And it does appear that way. It appears that he may have and that he smoothly played it off. And I would also say that Crisis had a few times where he dropped the ball in his verse and continued. So I think we either have to be forgiving of those stumbles in this battle, or we have to call both artists out for having those kind of stumbles or inconsistencies. Now, as far as the money, it would be nice if everybody could have come to an agreement. And that money thing, upon a winner being chosen, that money exchange really went down professionally and smoothly, which it didn't. And that's unfortunate. As I already voiced, so yeah, guys, you got to be on top of things like that. Like, that can't go down if we're going to be doing this kind of stuff. Stuff like that can't happen. You know, people will never trust what's going on if people can't honor their agreements and won't and stuff. You know. Also, there might want to be a time limit that's agreed upon, whether it's by the league owners, the event holders, or the artists themselves, right? Are we preparing 3-minute verses? Are we doing 6-minute verses? Even if it's one round or limited, how long is our verse going to be? Let's set a time limit so that it's always fair in that regard. So you're not having uneven matchups. A guy with a 9-minute verse, somebody else with a 2-minute verse. And now we're saying that the longer verse has to be better. We don't want that. So even amount of barrage. Yeah, I would definitely do that. Even amount of bars. So, what needs to happen now? You guys need to battle again, man. Yeah. Yeah, it has to be a rematch. J. Craze versus Crisis. This time, 3 rounds with fixed length. That's my take on it, man. Let me know what you guys think of the battle. All right, you can look for more information about this at nastywork.com, NASTYWURK, nastywork.com. Also, like, subscribe, and share to Viral Money over at Backstory Battle League on YouTube. Like, subscribe, and share. Check out all the lives. You can join in, leave comments. You can meet and fellowship, as they say, with artists and individuals from around the world. So do that. Also, continue to visit our website, www.daus.me, where we have new content coming and being uploaded every month, every few weeks, and so on like that. You know, many people are heading over there and making DAUS their number one go-to for quick and effective marketing and promotions that actually work. So, you know, go check us out and make us a part of your daily scrolling. When you guys are scrolling, make sure you scroll on by daus.me. Make sure you check out baronherdpaintings.com as well as chesttrunk.com, where you can get your 18 minutes of chess play and study each and every day. All right, I'm getting out of here, and we'll be rocking and locked and loaded again. So, you know, don't go too far.
J. Craze the God, you believe in Allah?
In June of this year, the United States implemented visa restrictions on Ugandan officials as a form of sanctions in response to Uganda's adoption of an anti-LGBTQ law. Similarly, the European Union imposed travel restrictions on the military leadership responsible for the coup in Niger. Western powers, particularly the United States and European countries, have repeatedly resorted to such punitive measures to exert influence over African nations. This pattern has become deeply ingrained in Western behavior. If they disagree with a country's policies, regardless of its location, the West unites and imposes sanctions, giving the targeted country two options: reverse its decision or face sanctions.
You know, people aren't taking Africa seriously. All right, family, people aren't taking Africa seriously. And I thought to myself, why wouldn't people be taking Africa seriously? Right? And it's like, Africa hasn't made any type of, like, or given any kind of, like, show of force, right? They haven't, like, jumped up here and demonstrated all crazy, right? They've never been, like, really offensive. They haven't, as Africa, united and gone and started any wars or taken over any territories. You know what I'm saying? They haven't been or pushed to be dominant in any way. So I think a lot of people around the world, I think a lot of people just think Africa's sweet. I think a lot of people think that Africa is sweet. And I think that underestimating Africa in that way might be coming back to bite folks in the butt here. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of Africa is starting to wake up and they're starting to move differently. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm thinking is going on. Now, this is all interesting because I don't know if you guys noticed, but we've got a crazy, 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 crazy influx of just like foreigners, yo. Yeah. Foreigners from all over the joint. You dig it? Foreigners from all over the joint. And I don't know myself. I don't know. I don't know if you guys see exactly all of the influx of the foreigners.
Deal with the Biden administration on revamping how the U.S. controls immigration along the southern border. This would be the first major overhaul in more than 30 years and reportedly authorized the White House to deny asylum seekers entry when migrant crossings surpass a certain number. Lawmakers hope to unveil reforms this week despite anticipated Republican opposition in the House.
Republicans 4 months ago would not give funding for Ukraine, for Israel, and for our southern border because we demanded changes in policy. So we actually locked arms together and said, we're not going to give you money for this. We want a change in law. Yeah. And now it's interesting, a few months later, when we're finally getting to the end, they're like, oh, just kidding. I actually don't want to change in law because it's a presidential election year. We all have an oath to the Constitution, and we have a commitment to say we're going to do whatever we can to be able to secure the border.
President Biden says if this bill passes, he will take action immediately to begin turning people away from the border. The bill could be released as soon as this week.
I need to know, how do y'all feel about all of the people coming in here from all over the dang place? We talking about Kazakhstan, Kazakhstan.
Right behind me was a location where migrants,
they pulling up from Saudi Arabia, Mexico. Folks is coming over from Morocco. You understand? Yeah, all over this joint. And they're taking the schools and abandoned buildings and warehouses in our neighborhoods, and they're converting them to safe spaces and all this kind of stuff.
An exclusive behind-the-scenes look at the potentially dangerous conditions at a luxury hotel in Midtown Manhattan, a hotel that's been turned into a public shelter for migrants. These are not the conditions most would expect from New York, which proudly proclaims its status as a sanctuary city. So who's responsible for all this? City officials? The migrants themselves? Or perhaps both? Here's 7 on Your Side investigative reporter Kristen Thorne.
Look at it.
Felipe Rodriguez is in the housekeeping department at the Row Hotel in Midtown and told us the accumulating garbage is only a small part of what workers there are dealing with. New York City is using the 28-story, 1,300-room luxury hotel as a shelter for migrants, some of whom are seeking asylum. Rodriguez says workers are constantly seizing hot plates, pots, and pans from the rooms, even though the city doesn't allow them there because they're a fire hazard.
If those hot plates catch you on fire, this whole hotel will go down in flames.
This housekeeping attendant, who did not want to be identified, says every day she finds cooking appliances in the rooms.
It's every day you'll find someone cooking. You can smell the eggs and rice that they're making. It's just bad. It's like they burn the carpets with the hot plates.
Workers say there's also evidence of migrants drinking alcohol in the rooms, which the city says is not allowed. Rodriguez says these pictures were taken inside one of the rooms.
Do you see open beer cans, signs of drinking?
Yes, the empty beer bottles and cans are all over the hallway.
Everybody is working in an environment that's hostile. The stress is crazy.
A city spokesperson said in a statement, safety and security of clients and staff are our top priority, and we have security at every humanitarian relief center 24 hours a day, every day.
I see the National Guard in there.
Yes, yes, they're standing right there.
When did they arrive here? When did that start happening?
They arrived here shortly after I complained with HR.
The city says the National Guard is there to assist with management. Workers say they're also concerned about their health. The hotel puts up this list of rooms where people are supposed to be isolating for 21 days for infectious diseases.
I've seen witness them come out the room when it was a quarantine room. And they're not supposed to do that.
The city says it has a dedicated team who does wellness checks for those in isolation and ensures food delivery to them.
Security is there. They walk around, yes, but there's no one standing by the door, so it's very easy to just leave.
The manager for the hotel did not want to speak with us. The management company, Highgate, did not return our emails. I reached out to the union representing the workers, Local 6. They said the union has always been supportive of putting migrants in underused hotels in the city. The union, though, would not comment on the workers' allegations.
I need to know what y'all think. Has this been happening in your city? It's definitely been happening in Philly. All right. It's definitely been happening in Philly. These dudes over here with cars. I don't know how. I don't know if they got licenses. I don't know how. They're doing Uber Eats all crazy. Have y'all been seeing the guys doing Uber Eats? They don't speak very much English. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all might not feel that is a big deal, but I'm a parent. All of the parents out here, these are people that are gaining access to the spaces your children are in. Husbands, wives, sisters, daughters, relatives, so on, right? We got folks flooding our space. What do you mean our space? Is it America? They're flooding America. Our neighborhoods. Our rec centers. And it's dangerous. Now, I know we might want to be all like, oh, well, we all gotta love each other and we gotta look out for one another. And why shouldn't people have rights to land and opportunity? Well, look, we gotta think about ourselves and we gotta think about our resources and we gotta think about that. Okay, everybody is looking to come here. No one's looking to bring us to their space. No one's looking for that. They're looking to come here and take what we have. And if you don't think that's true, all you have to do is pay attention. Okay, I'm going to play something else. Hold on. Yo, we got to be concerned. Nobody really has time for the racist game in America. You know, I think there's been so much of that that we've really dropped the ball. And while America's tripped up on playing that game, we got other folks running in trying to secure the bag. Let me see. All right, so look at the video that Shorty made here.
Hey guys, welcome to the channel. It's Ndagire here. Well, in today's video, I want to speak about this video that I came across to. And guys, I'm not home. Yeah, this is where I am right now. Yeah, as you can see, I'm outside. Well, today, I've seen a lot of videos of Black American people leaving the continent, leaving Tanzania and other African countries. And it's not something that they wanted to do, but because of the circumstances that they went through, they had to make that choice. And it's not a pretty thing to see, as me, who was encourages you guys to come in the motherland, it's your home. I'm going to make a few comments on what these ladies had to say.
The reason I left Tanzania. Okay, so the number one reason why I left Tanzania is because I was getting scammed numerous times. Was I scammed? So I left Tanzania and I've been back in the US for almost 2 months. And for me, it was the best decision that I could have ever made for my future and for my son's future. I was on Facebook and I saw that someone posted a picture of them holding up 500 T-shillings. It seemed like—
All right, hold up. Before I play the video any further, hold up. Before I go further with the video, all right? Now, so the girl in Africa, I think she says, I forget where she says she's from. All right, but she says she's playing the video and she wants to comment on what this woman right here is saying. All right, and that this woman right here is, this is the American woman. And the American woman is now saying why she decided to leave Africa now and go back to America. And she said one of the reasons is that she was being scammed. One of the reasons that I was being scammed, all right? So when she was over there, people were taking advantage of her. Okay? Now, if she was being taken advantage of, this also means that she didn't exactly know right from left, left from right while she was over there. You dig it? So she was over there maybe a little undereducated about where she was and how things went. So people were taking advantage of her. Now, that would happen in America. If you're from Philly and you go to New York and you're sleeping, you know, somebody going to get you. If you go to Atlantic City and you're sleeping, somebody will get you. You go to Florida and you're slipping, somebody will get you. So it's no different. You go to Africa, you dig it? She might be trying to imply that it's, oh, because I'm an American, they were trying to take advantage of me. Well, I mean, if you go anywhere around the world and you're slipping, you get caught slipping, you're going to get got. Yeah? Okay.
Like they were trying to say that's how much you would have to pay. You would only have to pay 500 T-shillings to fill up your car, which is, I think they said, less than 50 cents. The situation for me this time was a visa issue. And I'll go into that in another video. I just feel like it's so much to tell and I need to give the details of that. However, that situation was rectified for me, but at the last minute, after I decided that I was leaving to go home. And there is, you know, someone there in Tanzania that I believe would be great for diasporans to, you know, to help them make sure that they get their visas and all the paperwork that they need, and to just, you know, not get scammed, and someone that's trustworthy. As far as I am concerned, I did what was right for me and what was best for me. It didn't matter what anyone had to say to me.
The first thing that I didn't like is the immigration process. When I went to Tanzania, I already...
You see, she resorted back. She resorted to, I didn't care what anything anybody said in the end, but as I just did what was right for me. Well, what she originally thought was right for her was going to Africa. So, okay. There's that, right? But yeah. She said it was a lot about immigration that I didn't like, but I feel like it's a lot that I would have to explain. So I just ain't going to it. No. That's cap. It's not that it's a lot. It's just we would know that there was more to the story and it wouldn't exactly fit her narrative. So she's not going to explain it to avoid that. But let's keep going here.
Already imprinted in my brain that you're allowed to, from the research that I've done, that you're allowed to have 3 months there and then get extensions, which is a 30-day extension. It's supposed to be 2 30-day extensions for free. But once I got to the immigration, they had us wait there for 5 hours after telling us they could give us that time period, and we only got 2 weeks. After waiting 5 hours, we got a 2-week extension. So I had to maneuver myself from there, and it was just not pretty for me. I left the immigration office like literally in tears, because I was just like, I pick up on vibrations and energy, and it's just like the immigration people just felt like they don't want me here. You know, for whatever reason, whatever judgment they had of me, I don't think they want us as expats there. You know, and that's just the honest truth, you guys. Like, they were laughing at me while I was crying. Like, it was just not funny. Maybe it was just the immigration officers that I dealt with, but it was just like, okay, yeah. So that was like one of the first negative experiences for me there. But yeah, I thought I could, you know, stay there a little bit longer just to feel it out. Now, let me tell you guys, I never, ever, ever had the, I had no expectations with coming to Africa. Like I told you guys, I had plans to move to Ghana. They changed their rules. I don't like how their president moves. So I decided to come over to go to Tanzania. The immigration, like to have to leave every 3 months. I know this before going to Tanzania because it's everywhere. It's listed everywhere. But what I didn't take into was the expense that it would be to travel from country to country. I thought maybe it would be a little bit cheaper, but clearly it was. I just never fit in. And I've been me all my life. This is me. And I'm always changing and growing. But who I am at the core, I can't change. So if I can't vibe with the culture and I feel judged by the culture half the time, it's just not going to work long term for me. So that's one of the bigger reasons why I left too. Most of the expats were couples or males. So I met a guy. He was there from Europe. He had a business in Europe, but he lived in Atlanta. He's from Atlanta. I was like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, come to find out, like, he was like bragging about how, you know, he can get certain favors from a girl in the community for little to nothing. And I don't mean sexual favors, but he was just bragging. And that's what he kind of like hinted at, but I didn't want to assume. But, you know, like, I think guys sometimes come to exploit the, white and black guys come there to exploit the community, and you know, they know like they can get a lot for little to nothing, you know, from whether it's company, sex, whatever, like they know this. So they go there to sometimes exploit. So Being that I met, and then I met some cool expats that were males too. That right there was like a big, I don't fit, you know? But I want to connect with like-minded people, and I also want to connect with the African culture and the African people. But because there was that language barrier, I couldn't connect with any of the Tanzanian people, and I'm sure that stopped me from meeting a bunch of good people. But I couldn't connect. So this was like a theme for me that I was just like, dang, you know, like it sucks. This is a bummer. It took a lot of effort coming to Africa, but I was just like, I just don't see myself happy here. I'm not happy.
Okay.
So I didn't know, like, in my mind, I'm like, once I didn't feel welcome, I'm like, when can
I
escape?
Ain't feel welcome.
You know, because if you don't feel connected with the people, it's just like, what in the world am I doing here? Like, you know, I vibe with a few Tanzanian people, the ones who spoke English, and I vibe with, I didn't vibe with any diasporans, actually, not for long. So, you know, that's just what it is.
First of all, Africans need to understand, not every black person that comes in the continent comes to distract.
All right. This person right here, she says some real interesting stuff. I want y'all to hear. We're going to check it out.
I just wasn't feeling it. I just wasn't feeling the vibe. She's like, I just wasn't feeling the culture. I just felt like I couldn't get with it. Like, I couldn't connect with anybody. And I've been saying for the longest, I said, well, that's because that ain't where you're from. You ain't from there. So you going over there trying to like fake it in the eyes of a lot of people. And a lot of times we'll be over there being disrespectful and acting nutty and not realizing it. Because we got this pre-established sense of, oh, I'm going to the motherland. So, oh, woo, woo, woo. And it's like, nah, man. You're going to a place where people are trying to put things together for themselves still. So, dang, why I ain't able to connect? They said, because ain't nobody there trying to connect. Folks over there trying to handle their business. Right? And I want you to listen to what the girl says. And she has some very interesting things to say. But, you know, we're going over to Africa in these other places playing this romantic game where we got all of these cute ideas about connecting with our people and all this kind of stuff. Meanwhile, people from other places are trying to come to where you're from to establish themselves here and to take the resources you're supposed to have and be concerned about.
You know, because if you don't feel connected with the people, it's just like, what in the world am I doing here? Like, you know, I vibe with a few Tanzanian people, the ones who spoke English, and I vibe with, I didn't vibe with any of their songs, actually, not for long. So, you know, that's just what it is.
First of all, Africans need to understand, not every black person that comes in the continent comes to distract, comes to do something evil to the continent. I don't think that's the case. I do believe a lot of black American people that come in the continent come for the culture, for the people, come for mostly the things that help them connect to their motherland itself. It's more of the lineage part of it, and it's something that we Africans need to understand. So when someone decides to leave their country and come back to the motherland, especially a black person, I give you a lot of credit, because majority don't even want to take that stage because of the stereotypes that they have been fed about us. And it's something that we should also take as valuable as African people. Now, speaking about the first lady on how she was getting scammed, is something that I don't even think it's more of black Americans. This is something that Africans do. This is what Ugandans do. The moment they hear that you are from abroad, they don't want to know if you are Ugandan, who is born in America or Europe or whatever. As long as you look different and you seem different, these people are gonna high up the prices, and it's crazy. Like, it happens to me a lot, because when I go to places.
Now, peep that. She said it. She said it. She said, yo, Africans be scamming, y'all. Say, hey, she said, hey, niggas, look, Africans be scamming. She said, I'm gonna keep it a bean. They be scamming. She said, I'm gonna tell you the truth, because it be happening to me sometimes. She says sometimes they think that I'm from a foreign, and they hit me with it.
These people assume I don't know the local language. I don't know, maybe because I look Sudanese. So I also try to understand my fellow people. Like when I go to shops and I don't speak at first, they always assume I don't know how to speak the language, the local language, and they price up the stuff. They literally change prices for me, like me. And so imagine for a person coming from the diaspora, it's going to be hectic, because for you, when you speak, at least for me, when I start speaking, they calm down. And then I also show them that I know the language and I speak the language, so they are like ashamed. Yeah, they get ashamed. They really get ashamed. And I like doing that just to show them that it's not okay to do that BS. It's ridiculous. So if you are from the diaspora, the moment you open your mouth, like I always tell you guys, they will immediately not give you the grace, because they assume you have money and that your money is higher than them. And it's not okay. Like, that's why I say, like, we African people also are a problem, that we want to excuse that factor of us taking advantage of other people and then come out and cry that other people take advantage of us. Like, it's not okay. I really hate, like, I've seen a lot of black people come and talk about how they are getting scammed in the motherland, and it's crazy. I apologize on my people. In our culture, like, I don't even believe Africa has its true culture at some point. It's like our true culture is really hidden, that whatever is on the surface is mostly neo-colonialists. Culture, if I make sense. And as a person coming from the diaspora, and you're going
listen to
it's mostly a Muslim dominated country, so you need to understand these people are judgmental in the way you dress, the way you act. And being a black American also, you need to understand you have some stereotypes that walk with you, and it's not your fault, really. It's not really your fault, but because of what people have been fed about you, just like the things you've been fed about us to you, there's still that kind of judgment. And so people will look at you at a certain way because of the stereotypes. You have to be mindful of the things that you do. And I'm not saying you should not be yourself. Like, be yourself. Don't let these Africans, you know, blackmail you. Don't let these Africans control you. They should not do that. But try to assimilate to the people. Like, you come for the culture. Try to see if it fits for you or if it doesn't. I want you guys to go to places where you feel comfortable in terms of how you connect with the culture. Yes, it's okay to assimilate to where you're going, but as well, if it's not working out well for you, you should try somewhere else. There's a lot of African countries you can go to, and I believe you will find your space and your place. If Tanzania is not for you, you can go to Nigeria, you can go to Uganda, you can go to Kenya, you can go to South Africa if you can.
Now,
but like, mostly try to
see. She's saying, all right, well, if you come to Liberia and you just not feeling it, I mean, maybe you just need to try, you know, Lagos. Like, maybe you just need to be switching it up. Right? And I feel that that's cute, but I'm saying, nah. All right. One, if you're going to go to these places, you need to know where you're going, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. Don't just be trying to go there on some Hakuna Matata shit, Lion King shit, you know. Ooh, ooh, look at me, whoop-de-whoop, I'm in Africa. Don't do that. Okay, if you're going in there, you don't know nothing about the place, you need to go ahead and be on that resort like all the other smart people. Don't go trying to roam off the resort calling yourself wanting to be on an adventure, because everybody ain't really feeling you like you might think. Okay, that's the real.
The other thing that can also be challenging, I always speak about this, do not pack your suitcases and come from the diaspora and expect to get a job in the African continent.
Hold on.
And create one, but you...
This is the major part right here. Listen to that part she said.
Just need to adjust and understand.
She said, don't come with your backpack looking to get a job here. She said, it ain't no job here for you. She said, you can come here and make one, but don't come here thinking it's going to be one given to you. Listen to what she says further.
And each other. Yeah, I hope that helps, because we are from different places. You know, we just need to adjust and understand each other. Yeah, I hope that helps. The other thing that can also be challenging, I always speak about this, do not pack your suitcases and come from the diaspora and expect to get a job in the African continent. You can create one, but you coming in expectations of getting one is likely not gonna happen, because like we as African people are leaving the continent. We are running away from our countries to go and come to your countries, because that's where we see the future, that's where we see the opportunities. So you coming and also expecting the same things in the African continent is not gonna work out. People already assume that you have money, so when you show them that you don't even have a job, like you're looking for a job from them, is going to be a bit difficult, or a lot more difficult. So that's something that I don't even play around with. If you have a skill, come with it and teach the African people if you can. It doesn't matter if you're in education, in technology, in medicine, in whatever sector.
All right, now look, right there, right? I got to stop. All right. So you said, hey, another thing I want to mention, don't be coming here looking for no job, because they ain't got one. She said, everybody here is trying to leave the continent to come to your countries to get jobs and opportunities, because that's where they see the future at and stuff like that. Whoa. They're not saying that they see in the future. They're not saying that they see in the future. In Africa, and they thing, all right? They're saying that they've seen it in America. They said Americans, where you guys are is where everybody want to be. That's where the bag is. Okay? So as I told you, we got people coming from all over the world trying to get up in America, man. What are we doing? Something else she kept saying. She kept using the word diaspora. She kept saying like, others from the diaspora. And when I ran into people from the diaspora, you know, when I understand the term and all, however, I'm finding the way it's being used to be kind of cliche now, diaspora. Because they say diaspora, or, you know, others from around the world, or, you know, like from the West. It's like they're trying to use diaspora as another way of saying the West. You know, like a new way of saying black people. Saying that, I hear what I think this person is trying to be helpful, but I also feel like they're trying to be a little slick under the breath. You dig it? All right. So one, I want y'all to stop thinking that what you got to do is run out of the country. Oh, I got to leave America. I got to just go somewhere else. You need to stop thinking that. You need to stop thinking that. Okay? Two, you need to tighten up. Americans, we need to tighten up. White, black, orange, don't matter. We need to tighten up. Because we got folks pressing us all crazy.
And like this individual said, they're all coming here for jobs because this is where they see the future. What are we doing? We're not protecting this space as if we understand that it's valuable, as if we understand that people from other places want it and see it as the future. Yeah, I realize nobody feel like being racist, man. It's hard work to oppress a whole group of people. I got a little instrumental I wanted to play. Hold on. Facebook, you probably won't be able to hear the instrumental. But I'll be able to play one. Oh. Turn that down. All right. But yeah. They're coming from all over the place. And they have allegiances that we know nothing about. And we should be concerned. You know, I said the racial game and all of that is nice and everything, but no one feels like oppressing a people. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's hard work. It's hard work oppressing a whole group of people, keeping the whole people down, working to make sure that groups of people don't what? Rise above you. What does that mean? What does it mean to make sure that another group of people doesn't rise above you? See what I'm saying? So to take on the task of oppressing a people, man, that's a lot of work. You have to create effective mechanisms to oppress a person. You have to be able to keep those mechanisms in place. You have to be able to reinforce certain rules and so on and so on. Nobody wants to do that, man. I think to myself that the whole racism oppressed the black, I think that was an easier thing to do before the internet. I think it was an easier thing to bring children into because it wasn't much else to do, right? In a small town, if there was a bowling alley, it was very easy for the bowling alley to say, here, we don't like darkies, right? The same way now, in certain cul-de-sac towns, there might be easy for one of these cul-de-sacs to have 13 houses and all of them have a collective, we don't like niggers energy about them. We want people not liking niggers to be illegal. It won't be illegal. People have a right to not like niggers if they don't want. However, we should be concerned about those who see America, our land, the land we're on, as the land of opportunity. Because if we're not here working this land, others will take it over. No one wants to work to oppress a people. Fine. However, we do have to work to maintain a nation, a country. And if we don't do that, somebody else will. We can't get lazy, y'all. Fellas, we got to get organized. You understand? And we got to start being prepared to, like, really monitor and survey our area, man. We don't know who our families are being put around. Do you understand? These folks have no history. When they're moving around, when we see each other, we can say this person went to this high school. This person knows my friend. Okay. But then now there's just droves of folks with no background. It's alarming. Look, I want to know what y'all think about this. Anchor.fm/215. Make sure y'all go over there and check it out. Okay.